Paris is gonna do?
It's gonna be a fry cook at Venus.
Good afternoon, this is Richard Hsu, host of Hsu Untied, where I interview lawyers and former lawyers who've gone on to do interesting careers. Today I'm very honored to have as my guest Ben Stein, who's a economist, a novelist, a TV show host, an actor. Ben, welcome to the show.
Honored to be here, sir. Honored to be here. Writer, novelist, screenwriter, comedian, all kinds of things.
Everything. Very good.
Anything that will pay the bills.
Well, tell me, so what interested you in law school to begin with?
Well, I was senior at Columbia. I didn't know what the hell to do. I was trying to decide between economics graduate school and law, and my father said, you'll make more money at law. So I said, okay, well, that money sounds good. So I consulted with my brother-in-law, a very, very successful lawyer from Harvard Law School, and he said, go to Yale. It's the easiest. It's a country club. I remember him saying it's a country club. You don't ever have to do any real work. And I went there in fall of 66. It was very, very, very hard work. I got quite sick to my stomach. I dropped out, worked as an economist, came back. By then it was happy times. The hippies had taken over. We didn't have to do much work, and it was great.
Huh. So what did you do when you graduated from law school?
I did two things. I worked for the Office of Legal Services, which was, you're too young to know this, but it was the War on Poverty part in which we were giving free legal services to poor people. And I worked and supervised a whole bunch of offices in New England. And I also worked part-time at the White House as a writer and speechwriter for a very wonderful man named Robert Brown, who was the president's assistant, President Nixon's assistant for minority affairs. And we had a great time, but then I went off and I worked as a trial lawyer at the Federal Trade Commission, where I had a horrible time. They assigned me a very difficult, nearly impossible case. I was up against really, really, really good lawyers from Arnold and Porter and Covington Burling, and they just beat my brains in. Largely because it was just an impossible case to start with. I don't think Perry Mason could have won that case.
And then what happened? So then was that the end?
Okay,
of the
so then I did that for a while. I got quite sick. I'm very sensitive health-wise to tension. And so I went, and I, by an incredible, unbelievable stroke of good fortune, while I was at Yale, I'd taken some courses in film. And I had done really, really well in them. And the teacher was an extremely famous film critic named Stanley Kaufman. And he was critic for the New York Times, then for the New Republic. And he got me a job teaching part-time about film at American University in Washington, D.C. I enjoyed that fantastically. But then I wanted to leave town. I wanted to be away from the humidity and the horrible weather of Washington. So I got a job by an incredible, unbelievable stroke of good fortune at the most beautiful campus in the world, UC Santa Cruz. And I taught there for not quite a year. And it was, interestingly enough, the object of a really nasty bit of racism by the faculty there. And then I came back to Washington, and by an astounding other stroke of luck, because my life is just a series of incredibly lucky breaks, got a job working at the White House as a speechwriter for President Nixon, whom I've always loved. Ever since I was in elementary school, I've loved him. And my father was chairman of the President's Council of Economic Advisors, which helped a lot. And it was a wonderful job, and I just had a great time there.
When were you an economist then?
Well, I'll go on. First of all, I was working basically in economics at the White House because I was – well, first of all, I had been an economist for the U.S. Department of Commerce for a year between my first year at law school and the time I returned as the first year again. I dropped out quite soon. And I worked for roughly a year as an economist at the Department of Commerce. Then I taught at when I was teaching at Pepperdine – law school. Right. I also taught a course in economics, and I also taught a course in a very interesting subject, which I'm sure you know about, called law and economics.
Right.
And then I wrote a huge amount about economics for the Wall Street Journal and for Barron's, and I was a which I say, I mean, they would assign me their most very complicated subjects to write about, and they were very long articles, like 5,000-7,000 word articles for Barron's about very complicated legal and economic questions. So I'd say that's when I was doing that. But meanwhile, I had moved. I'd worked for Mr. Nixon. He went out of office, as you know. Then I worked for Mr. Ford. Then I went. I got a great job offer to write columns and editorials for the Wall Street Journal. And I went up to New York and worked at the Wall Street Journal. And they sent me out to Hollywood a number of times because I was also writing a lot about popular culture. I loved Hollywood. I got a job in Hollywood. I've been very, very lucky in getting jobs pretty much anywhere I wanted to get them.
How did you end up becoming an actor? Because that seems unlikely.
Well, that was just blind luck. I was working, I was writing screenplays, and one of the producers and executives I was writing screenplays for at Universal said, "You're really, really funny. Let's put you in a movie." They put me in a movie called The Wild Wife, which was a sequel to Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It didn't really do anything. Then several months after that, he asked if I wanted to be a voice in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I did that, and the student extras on the stage liked me so much that John Hughes, who was a director, producer, and screenwriter, said, "Let's have you ad-lib a couple of scenes on screen." And I did that, and that worked incredibly well and just unbelievably well, just ad-libbing, not a single word written down for me. And I became a star. And just one afternoon over at Stage 15 at Paramount, I became a star.
That's really funny.
Small star. So what are you... Not a big star. Small star.
No, no. And what are you doing now exactly?
Well, I was helping my wife find a piece of blank paper for her to write something on. But I was I am now writing a column for the American Spectator, a column for a very conservative magazine called Newsmax. I give a lot of speeches, and I am a commentator every week on Fox News for a half hour about the economy and the stock market. And I am a very frequent commentator on a TV show run by a conservative magazine called Newsmax. And I also do occasional commentary for CBS News. And I used to, until just recently, do quite a lot of commentary for CNN. But I haven't even mentioned the part about I wrote many screenplays, some of which were actually produced. And I wrote many, many, many novels, many, many, many books on investing, including some quite high-powered ones that were endorsed by Warren Buffett. So, I've just got a lot of interests in my life.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you've done all these different things. When you kind of look back, like, you know, what would you say is your favorite, the best time you had, or the most enjoyable thing you did when you kind of look back on this incredible career?
Teaching at American University. That was really, really fun. That was really, 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 really fun. Really fun.
Hmm. And is there anything else you are, you know, do you have any other goals that you want to accomplish, or you've kind of pretty much done everything, or what are you?
Well, we have a huge number of houses, vacation houses, and we sort of spend our year going from one house to another and enjoying the local scenery and meeting people and being friends with people in these various towns. And that's what we do. And, you know, a long time ago when I was 42, a very smart friend of mine and I had lunch, and I said, "What should be my goal now that I'm 42? And he said, "To live to be 43. And so that's my goal, is to live several more years. And also I love, love, love giving speeches. So I hope to be able to continue doing that for as long as I'm ambulatory. And I don't think I'm going to write any more books, and I don't think I'm going to write any more screenplays. I will probably be on TV a hell of a lot more, and that's what I do. And I must say, I don't miss practicing law one minute. Every second of practicing law at the Federal Trade Commission was very challenging. I worked with the smartest people I've ever worked with in my life, and really, really, really smart people, but it was just too hard. Where did you go to law school?
Columbia.
Oh, you're kidding. Well, yeah. I was an undergraduate there. It's a good school.
Oh, although, yeah.
Although it's not the country club that Yale is.
Well, Ben, I really appreciate you taking the time. It sounds like a really fascinating career. When you go on to do some more things, you'll have to come back and tell me about it.
I'd love to do it. Thanks so much. God bless you, sir, and have a nice afternoon.
Richard Hsu and Ben Stein. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.